Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now, or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on an Friday right here at the Gal Media Studios. Had Chingo Bling in the studio. That was great catching up with him because of that local flavor, because he is a Houstonian, because he's killing it, and because we had a couple clips of his. With more comedy still on the way, we told you that with the All-Star break in the NBA and everything that's kind of on hiatus right now sports-wise, we were going to kind of mix it up today, and it's been a great mix. Getting to a lot of things. We told you some of the breaking news that Colin Kaepernick, along with Eric Reid, have reached a settlement with the NFL. So that was done. The other big news of the day, the New Orleans Pelicans have fired Dell Demps, their general manager. They said ownership was livid last night when Anthony Davis, after getting hurt, decided to not only leave the game, but leave the arena and walk out with his agent, Rich Paul, which set, of course, Twitter ablaze and TNT doing the national broadcast. So it went from, well, Dell, if you trade AD before the deadline, you're going to get fired. To Dell, if you leave him leave the building, you are fired.
Well, I don't understand how Dell Demps could have any control in that.
He really doesn't.
How do you fire a dude? It'd be the equivalent of, and we'll just use this show as an example. It'd be the equivalent of you in the middle of a segment. Let's say we've seen it happen on other shows, but mm-hmm. You get pissed off and you're like, you know what? I'm out. And you walk out, and then Gal comes down and goes, AJ, you're fired. Look, AJ couldn't help that you walked out.
Right.
I don't understand why. Look, there's a lot of reasons to fire him. Don't get me wrong.
No doubt.
There's tons of reasons to fire him. But why was last night one of them?
I think it was just the tip of the iceberg, right?
Okay.
I think because we knew that there was an ultimatum that said don't trade him. They wanted Boston involved. They want to get the best deal. They don't want to have more egg on their face. But then you hear, and it's never a good PR look, even if a lot of people are siding with you that because the Lakers and Rich Paul, because he's tied to LeBron and he's tied to AD, that they were finessing the system and finessing the game to get him where he wanted to go without having to make a stop on a trade to a city he didn't want to go to. You go back to what David Stern said back in the day, which he said in the last 12 months, where he said, hey, when I was interim owner of the Pelicans trying to sell that team, Dell Demps was the worst general manager I have ever seen.
Yeesh.
So like you said, there's a track record there that says from a Pelicans perspective, and now that Tom Benson's wife has he passed away and she's running the show, she knows how big of a deal this next year or so is going to be and this offseason is going to be for this team, and just decided, hey, regardless of why, the reasons you can stack up, you could talk about, but going forward, we can't screw this story up before we get to the final chapter of Anthony Davis with the Pelicans, and I need some real NBA guys.
Well, I think it's it was the right move. I just think the timing is weird.
Yeah, I think I mean, I tend to agree with Joel in the fact that it could be a tip of the iceberg situation. We heard Gentry in the post game.
They basically called it a crap show, right?
No, he called it a dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah.
And same thing. That means there's been some arguments behind the scenes that perhaps some of the media members and us as fans have not been able to see.
Yeah.
And that just was like, all right, now I've had enough. Bye.
So did he call it a dumpster fire before the firing of Will Demps or Dell Demps?
After the game immediately when Alvin Gentry met the media.
He didn't know. He wasn't aware of it yet.
And here's but the other thing. National TV, the Pelicans, after he left the game, beat the Thunder.
Yeah, I know.
So it's supposed to be a big deal. And he wants to talk about, you know, the exuberance in the locker room, these young kids and a great win. And everybody wants to fire AD questions at him. And the first thing he said was the dumpster fire. And the second thing he said is, guys, I'm talking about the guys that helped me get this win, that were in this locker room, that are here. If you don't want to talk about that, I'm done. And he crumpled up the stat sheet and he walked away.
Good for him.
Because
we
after
talk
that.
About that. I mean, you know, you guys like KD that get upset about stupid-ass questions that have nothing to do with the game. I get it. Like, you just had a big win. That's a big win for them with all the struggle that they've had going into the All-Star break, and you lose AD again. And
that's why Alvin Gentry should get more credit. Couple that with the win where he didn't have AD, and he had limited roster, including no Randle, when they came in and beat the Rockets in Houston. Now you've beaten the Thunder on national TV. People are going to go, it doesn't matter what's going on in the front office. Just don't fire the coach and put blame on Alvin Gentry, because he's doing everything he can to keep this very, very volatile situation together.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting because of the fact that you have LeBron came out outspoken about the other part of Rich Paul was he's carrying Anthony Davis's bag out of the building last night. They're trying to sneak out, and it just so happens that TNT's sideline reporter, I believe it was Lewis Johnson, was sitting right outside the Pelicans' locker room.
And saw him.
And saw it. They had a camera rolling. They were able to cover it. And now, something they probably didn't want to have out there is out there. Because, you know, if you're Anthony Davis, you don't want to face the media after this game. And then the questions arise, well, are you going to play in the All-Star game?
There's going to be more Anthony Davis questions for Gentry.
Well, yeah. I think the big question for me would be, if I'm another team, what kind of character does that show of Anthony Davis to leave your team? You don't go back. Hopefully they come out and be like, well, you know, medically we had to take him to the hospital. There was something wrong. He needed to go to the hospital. That's how I would handle it at this point. Other than just, well, he just left because he doesn't care about that team anymore. That's a bad look from a character perspective for him. You could have gone back to the bench and sat there with those guys in street clothes.
Said when all this process was rumored to be possibly rumbling. He came out and said, I don't want to talk about trades. I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a legacy with a franchise. I want to make sure that my legacy was known as being that guy for that franchise. Well, you just took your whole legacy that you wanted in a positive light, threw it out the window and said, my legacy is going to be, I'm going to show every player going forward, if you get the right agent and you handle things the right way, your dad is a pawn that can be used to get you where you want to go instead of where they want to send you, and you can still make all the money.
If you're an amazing talent like Anthony Davis and you end up in a small market like New Orleans or Sacramento or whatever the case may be, and you're just that amazing to the point where people are going to pursue you in the event you become a free agent, I think it's your agent's duty to let them know, look, don't say words like that. Like, this is my team and I don't want to leave, because this is a completely different era and players don't necessarily stay with the same team their entire career. So just don't, you know.
It's a nice story when you do it like Dirk Nowitzki or Kobe Bryant. But look, those days, as we saw with Akeem, who no one thought would ever wear another jersey, those days, since even Akeem did it, have become more and more the norm instead of the rare occasion that guys are going to change teams, like you said. So, yeah, you can sit there and praise Dirk and you know, guys that did that whole thing of staying with it. But once you get the money, it behooves you the first 7 years of your career through your rookie deal and your first big bump deal, if you're a superstar type player, you can get the most money out of the franchise that drafted you. After that point, with endorsement opportunities, and like you said, Nick, if you're in Sacramento as opposed to New York, Chicago, or LA,
don't say you're down for your team, because you never know what's going to happen. You might look, if you're so good to the point where you can put your team on the back and win a championship, that's one thing. But even then, look, LeBron James barely did it. And you can make the argument that they kind of got lucky with some of the injuries the Warriors were sustained, or the suspension with Draymond Green. And so I think that had a lot to do with it, you know? So it's just a risky comment to make. It's a risky comment to make if you are a superstar of Anthony Davis's level.
Yeah, you have to be careful of that. But you, at some point though, don't you want your stars to kind of show that kind of commitment though? Don't you want James to at least show the commitment to Houston and look, I love this city, I love this town, I love playing here, I'm here for the long haul, I'm in it to win it. Even if they're lying, a certain part of us as fans wants to know or wants to feel like that, you know, we're like emotional chicks. Like we just want you to want us. Like we just want you to be here and be with me. And then when you find out they don't, you're like, well, you're an a-hole and I didn't like you anyways. But at the time, you want to be wanted.
Here's the thing, because you use that interesting word.
Commitment?
Commitment. Because here's the thing. There was a commitment between both sides. Mm-hmm. But when that commitment turned into, like you said, a divorce or a separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's shown no commitment to the Pelicans, but he wants a commitment from them that if he bails from a game and say Lewis Johnson isn't sitting outside the locker room, he wants them to still be committed to say, Anthony had to go to the hospital for some x-rays and some precautionary things and cover for him. And he wants them to not take him out of the scoreboard videos. And he wants to still be the guy. And as Charles said last night on the broadcast for TNT, too, he said, how in the world, you got no one in the building, they all know what's going on, they're mad that he's getting booed. You did this to yourself.
Yeah, I think I have the reason right here. Steven Usyk tweeted and said, Barry, come on. Maybe he had to poop. Nobody likes pooping at work. You don't know? That could be it. Maybe he just had to go. He's like, well, I'm going to head on back to the crib, guys. My shoulder's messed up, and I got a boo-boo, so I'm out. I'll see y'all at practice.
So Steven was saying a low-pressure system was causing the Doppler radar to take him on home.
Yeah, that could be it.
There you go. All right, so a little NBA talk along the way, but we've still got plenty more to go. Got one more clip coming up from Chingo Bling, and then we're going to have the final big portion of the final hour. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, coming back, final 45 minutes of the show. It's the usual suspect. It's ESPN 97.5. It's an FEF Friday. We already told you there's not a whole hell of a lot going on in sports, so we've been having a lot of fun. Chingo Bling joined us. If you missed that, please go back and check the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have one more clip. We had a technical difficulty with a clip that I sent Nick, so we're going to try to get that at 3:45. But I'll still – and so hang in because we're going to give you one more chance to win tickets from the Joke Joint at 3:45 when we play the clip. So we'll have Joe Mackey on the show at 3:30, who's at the Joke Joint this weekend. And, hey, maybe we'll do the giveaway then, and then we'll play Chingo's clip at 3:45. So just stay tuned. You got 45 minutes to the Blitz. Hang out.
And you guys can compare Joe Mackey's voice with Trey.
Don't put that evil on him, Ricky Bobby. Don't you do that.
It's another day where I wish Trey was here earlier.
Right?
Because Trey would go, hey, I'm a big fan. Instantaneously, when I heard your comedy, I didn't even listen to what you said, but I know we're brothers.
I feel like Trey would be a big fan.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Chingo Bling, by the way, blew up the text line. People were texting in. Apparently, there was some sort of, somebody texted and said, there used to be a plate named after Chingo Bling at some restaurant. Like, that's how fancy Chingo is. He's got his own He's like the Ken Hoffman.
That's cool.
Of rappers. He's got his own plate at some restaurant. So, but yeah, a lot of people texting in just nice things to say, whether they know him or have met him or know of him.
It was so ironic because someone texted in twice that they went to college with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we'll never get into that. And all of a sudden he goes, you know, I went to college in San Antonio. And I was almost like, wow. I mean, brought it right in.
It's crazy because if you really like, you know, he's just like, oh, I'm a goofy rapper and I do stand up. That dude is smart. That dude is a marketer.
You can tell. He's sharp.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing, man. And you know, it's funny. I'm glad he talked about it that way because that era that he came up, I mean, the Ghetto Boys started off by selling tapes out of the back of their trunk. Mm-hmm. When Rap-A-Lot started, Jay Prince used
to
sell them.
That was a big deal.
So he was really doing what the other rappers in the city did before him, which was hustle and sell stuff out of the back of your trunk at places, like you said, flea markets and everywhere else.
And this is a great week for us talking about how important self-marketing is. And we talked about you, yeah. We talked about Taryn, and now we talk about Chingo Bling.
I am the worst of all of them, by the way. My self-marketing? Well, that too. I am definitely the ugliest. I would love to sit down and just pick the brain of those guys for an hour on marketing and how you do it. I'm so bad at it.
It's different because, you know, and I kid around when we were talking, like I've been talking to Kyle Lowry about coming on the show.
Yeah.
But it's like that too, because you don't have people. Like when Kyle was with the Rockets or when Kyle was with the Grizzlies, he was just a player. We were just in the front office, and he didn't have people. Now he's blown up so big that he can say, he's in one of those rare occasions where he can go, my people will take care of it. My people will do this. Mm-hmm. But for all of you guys, when you're grinding every day and you're out there pounding the pavement, it's as much about you being you and selling yourself as not having people to go, hey, have you seen Barry's t-shirts and koozies? And have you seen that he's going to be here next week?
Yeah, it's not, it is. Because like, you know, when I got lucky enough to just have an initial call with that record label, I didn't have people to hit. Like, yeah. that was through Jerry. So it was a relationship like you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
And now that's on me to make that happen. I don't have a manager or an agent yet that can handle that stuff for me. I would love to have that. But then I also look at that and go, I can do a lot of that and not have to pay them.
Oh, brother, let me tell you, having a wife in television, if I could, I'm telling you, the agent fees will kick you in your lower extremities.
I bet she hates that every time, huh?
You, or her, or me, or both? Because I'm telling you, as much as she hates it, I hate it double. Because, like, that's a lot of what I used to do in my previous life, in my previous job. And I'm like, can I just, going forward, can I represent you? Because, right? Baby, when you see that bank statement, you go, oh, my God.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. At some point, though, like in comedy, you have to have representation because they know when, like, you know, I told you guys I'm going to apply for the $100,000 pyramid, mm-hmm. which I just happened to find on a call board on the interwebs. But they know a lot of, like, you know, because I'm looking around going, well, how do you find out about stuff like Last Comic Standing? Well, you really don't without an agent. That's part of their job is they know about all of these auditions for all of these comedy-based shows that are coming up.
And I kid and I say that, but just like in comedy, it's also the same with broadcasting. Because I'll tell you this, for as much as I see that bottom line, and it can be painful, mm-hmm. you also realize that, again, getting back to what we said, you may know the contracts. I know contracts. I know negotiations. I know those kind of things. But I don't know people in the industry, and I don't know the owner of the locally owned and operated stations across the country and those people that are the talent coordinators for the TV stations that are more corporately owned. That's where they really get the mm-hmm. with all the broadcasters that I've made agreements with over the years, they would say, I finally made it. I went and got an agent and I could afford to get one. But they also realize that just like we were saying with the Tesla and the cars, it's an investment, but it can pay back.
Oh, yeah.
The minute you get an agent, just because you can afford it and you've gotten to a certain point in your career, you think, God, it's going to be painful, and how am I going to pay it back? And before you know it, the agent says, well, I've also uncovered four more leads for three other jobs that you might land in the next 2 years.
God, I would love that.
It's big.
That would be, that would be cool because you don't realize, it's like advertising. It's like anything. You don't realize you how beneficial it can be until you do it.
Right.
You don't realize how much an agent can help you with other gigs and other things. Because you know what? For me, what I'm bad at, I hear you saying it, you're a good negotiator. I think I would be a better negotiator for other people. I'm worse when it comes to me.
Plus, we go back to, again, what we full circle from this week. When you talk about when you go to arbitration and you're representing yourself, now you got to have that poker face on and you got to fight for every dollar. And at the same time, you're going, bitch, did you just say that I'm this and that? And then we all have, we're all sensitive to some degree. You're going to remember that. It's going to resonate. And you're going to be like, are you kidding me? Yeah, we reached a deal. But how dare you say, whereas you have representation, you don't even have to be in the room.
Yeah, you can be like, you know what? That's just my agent. I love you guys. But, you know, he's got a job to do and he's doing it. But you know I love you. Yeah, because I'm not a good negotiator when it comes to myself. So I try, but it's a whole different beast.
I'll tell you the biggest thing that I learned was.
Because emotion, you can't involve emotions in a negotiation.
Absolutely.
And if you're representing yourself, you're going to get emotional. Hey, look at Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
He got emotional. I'm not saying he represented himself, but he was in there, and that can happen, and that's how you spoil relationships.
And the other thing is, when you come in and you're learning the game of negotiations, you're looking for, I just want to make a deal that's fair for both sides.
Right.
When you realize the people above you are expecting you to be in that room to make sure we get the best of this deal. And
yes.
That can be a huge issue because you're going, oh, it works for them. It works for us. It's a great deal. And then when
compromise.
You walk out of the room and they go away and your boss comes in, you to goes, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We could have gotten this much more and this many different things. And you're like, damn, I didn't get all that.
Yeah.
I thought it was killing it because we were both happy.
I thought it was good because we compromised.
Talking about compromising, too, and doing some research and doing the right things the right way to try and have success down the road.
Uh-huh.
Nick has Kirsten in here right now because he's already looking to future Wayback Wednesdays and trying to figure out how he can finally continue to win the game by making sure that his number one resource in getting him even just on the map in being relevant in Wayback Wednesday is in the building. So
she is good at coming up with the list ideas. I don't know about songs, but list ideas, she's way better than him. That is for sure. Our old pal Kirsten. We've missed her around
no
here.
No doubt
she's,
about it.
She brings a smile and a happy attitude every day. Well, she used to, but when she's here now, it's good.
And the biggest thing, too, is you know what? Nick used to rely on Siri, and he realized that she can still fail him miserably. So he goes to the old reliable because he knows from a bottom-line perspective, Kirsten at least isn't going to fail him on the theme, but she can't help him when he needs to do things himself in terms of the list.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes, so there you have
it. We got Joe Mackey coming up after this break. And then at some point, I had two things that I wanted to talk to you about. One guy got arrested for making a bomb threat about pooping.
Uh-oh.
And another guy choked a mountain lion to death.
Oh, I saw that one.
Both heroes in my eyes for different reasons. We can get to that in the last segment of the show. But before we get to that, though, hey, I know Kirsten is here. I think there's plans to go have happy hour, and you guys are going to do a little drinking. And Nick, please don't forget your cheers, buddy. Please don't forget your cheers, because I know once you get there, you're gonna enjoy yourself. And then, you know, that cheers, man. I've been telling you guys about cheers for a while now. Last year, we talked about it, but it was Thrive Plus. New year, new name. Same great product, though. Cheers is a supplement designed to reduce the negative effects of alcohol on your body and help you and me and Nick and the 60% of Americans who drink feel better the next day. And I don't want you guys waking up feeling bad after a fun night out on the town. So take some cheers with you. And take three capsules after your last drink or right before you go to bed, you're going to wake up feeling better. And what I love about Cheers is if you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. No questions asked. In fact, I had this discussion with a listener, Tyler, when we were at Nick's place over Christmas. And he said, man, I didn't think it was working for me. So I called him, man. They gave me my money back. It was easy. He said, and then when I talked to him, they were like, well, you know, try to take four instead of three and see if that helps. He said, I did it and I just wasn't taking enough for my body type. So they're there for you, man. They want you to feel better and they're going to work with you. And sometimes you only need two. Sometimes you need three. Sometimes you need four. You definitely need Cheers if you enjoy alcoholic beverages. If you order before 4 p.m., which you got about a half hour to do so, they're in Houston. So they're going to have the product on your doorstep the next day. It's outstanding. You probably saw it on Shark Tank last year. And remember, they've got PhDs on staff and Ivy League scientists. They know what they're doing. Bottom line is it works. So if you even enjoy a moderate amount of alcohol, make sure you check out Cheers. Just go to cheershealth.com to get your order in. That's cheershealth.com. Guys, I don't drink without Cheers. Nick doesn't drink without Cheers, and neither should you.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's The Usual Suspects on an F Yeah Friday. You know how we do it. F is for funny, and normally we have one comedian of the week. But, hey, lucky you guys, especially with not a whole lot going on in sports. We told you we're going to be more on the entertainment side today. So you get two for the price of one. You get two comedians. We had Chingo Bling, and he was great in studio. And now we're going to go to the hotline, the HRNP listener line, and we're going to be joined by another gentleman that is paying a visit to the fine city of Houston, Texas. It's Joe Mackey. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas. I mean, there's a ton going on in sports, though. I mean, we got golf.
Are you done?
Yeah, that's it. We got golf.
Joe, I appreciate you joining us, man. I had a great time working with you last night. This is your second time to the city, right? This is your second time performing in Houston?
Yeah, I was here in 2014, rocked the house during the last Comic Standing tour. A lot of people still talking about it.
I know. So you guys don't know where Joe is staying, but he's on the south side, kind of near 45 and Fuquay, and he went jogging. And I was like, no, don't do that.
Oh, boy. Joe, you're a brave man.
Yeah, I did that today. I felt like one of those wildebeests being chased by the lions, but I made it okay.
I had to show him all the homeless tents under the freeway as I took him to the hotel. I was like, yeah, don't run around here. But you are enjoying the weather at least, right? Because you're in New York, so you're down here living it up in this 77-degree weather.
Oh, it's glorious outside. I mean, except for tonight, it's going to be miserable. So you might as well go to the comedy show.
Now, Joe, you mentioned golf. Are you a golf fan? Are you a sports fan in general?
I take a passing interest. I try to play. I try to watch. I'm more of a baseball fan than anything else. Go Pirates.
Oh, Pirates. Yeah, so you are from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, and I remember hearing a joke last night where you talked about the Steelers, and I was curious. I wanted to ask you, are you a Steelers fan, lifelong Steelers fan, or was that just part of the joke?
You know, I do root for the Steelers, but I don't care too much about football. I'm more of a baseball guy, and you guys have our Gerrit Cole, so no hard feelings, but we'll see you guys in October.
Oh, yeah? That's
confidence.
That's big talk from a Pirates fan.
Pirates and
fan.
Three.
Pirates and three. That's that passing interest in sports, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm curious now. We had, do you know who Billy Gardell is? We had him on the show. He's a big Pirates fan. Is there a, what's the comedy community? Are you the only two guys you think that are Pirates fans in the comedy world?
I mean, probably. We had 22 losing seasons in a row, and we lost a lot of the weak ones. But I'll tell you what, we're coming back strong, and we're better than ever. So we don't need all those losers.
Talk a little bit about Last Comic Standing. That's where I think a lot of people recognize you from. Even though when I saw you on Bumping Mics, I was like, oh, well, that's cool again. But you've got Last Comic Standing under your belt. What other things are you working on project-wise?
I'm trying to tape a special sometime in the late spring or early summer. I hope to have that out sometime before the year ends.
Awesome. And you've got Fallon under your belt. I mentioned the Bumping Mics. You've got Last Comic Standing.
What was Conan, a half hour on Comedy Central. The list goes on, really. I'm very successful,
I watched the Conan clip, and I loved all of it. And then I also loved the fact that you were able to, because it's cable, you were allowed to keep it not so PG?
Yeah, they give you a little more leeway on Conan. They're not over the air broadcast, so they're not regulated by the FCC. It's all in house censorship. So it's a lot more. You're a lot more free to do whatever you want.
All right, now I've been dying to ask this of somebody that's been on The Last Comic Standing. How much do you feel of that was pre-planned? Because there were people that have told me that they felt like some of it was kind of predetermined in a way. Did you get that vibe while you were there?
I can't speak to that because, they say it's a straight game, so As far as I know, it is. I just know that the judges got it right the first 96 times. But when they got down to that final four, I mean, yeah, I should always, of course, win everything.
So you're there. You're at the Joke Joint this weekend. First time performing at the Joke Joint. Last time you were here, I think you said you were at a theater for the Last Comic Standing tour that you guys were doing. So if you want, what we're going to do is at some point we'll do a giveaway for a couple of tickets for the folks to win. For those that maybe, how would you describe what you do on stage? Because there's a lot of folks that are like, okay, I've seen him, but it's different when you see a 5-minute clip on Last Comic Standing as opposed to a live show.
Oh, boy. I guess I would describe it as the best comedy show ever. And I'm trying to be humble here when I say that. It's just that you're going to have a heck of a time. It's going to be edgy. It's going to be thoughtful. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna not laugh. But you're gonna laugh sometimes.
I gotta say, so last night I noticed on stage you drink Coors Light. How does a guy in Pennsylvania, New York, end up drinking Coors Light? That feels like a West Coast beer.
Well, I drink whatever light beer they got. It's if you're drinking light beer, you're not drinking it for the hops, that Belgian flavor. You just want a cold beer, you know. So I'm not too picky about that.
That is outstanding.
Unless Coors Light wants to sponsor me, then it's the best beer ever. Pick up the case.
We got a guy here that is a staunch supporter of Coors Light that might be able to hook you up. He does the morning shows here, and he loves him some Coors Light. So maybe he can do something for you along the way.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Joe, let's do this right now. Let's do a ticket giveaway. If you guys want to win tickets, you can call the Joke Joint, 281-481-1188. We'll do the first three callers can win a couple of tickets to see Joe. So each of you gets, if you need three, just ask them. They might give you an extra one. But we'll do three first three callers, 281-481-1188. Joe, how can the people kind of follow you and keep up with you on social media? Where can they catch you?
I'm on all the big ones, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My last name is spelled Mackey, M-A-C-H-I, and it's comedian Joe Mackey on two of the three, and just Joe Mackey on Twitter. So you can find my dates on joemackey.com as well.
There you go. Keep up with him. He's hilarious. You're going to love him. I hope you guys, at least a couple of you, have a chance to get out there and check him out if you don't win. Joe, it was a pleasure to work with you. Thank you for doing the show, man, and good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Joe Mackey. Make sure you check him out. Do not miss the show this weekend. It's going to be outstanding. He's funny, man. And I always
go to YouTube too and put his name in and catch up on. They have the Conan bit. They have the Tonight Show bit.
Yeah,
they've got a lot of different bits. You'll love it.
Here's the thing, though. I'll be honest with you, and I hate interviewing comedians as a comedian. Because for me, I know what I would want to talk about, but I have to think, like, what would the people listening want to talk about? And as comics, we hate doing stuff like radio a lot of times. And
don't know what's coming at you?
Well, radio guys in general, and I'm just being honest, radio guys in general kind of have a bad reputation amongst comics because a lot of times we get asked to do the morning shows or the wacky drive time shows. And then you get on the show and the radio guys either think they're as funny or funnier than you and they want to make you look bad, or they ask the questions that you're like, this isn't what, you know, like you're having me on to ask me something like dumb. And so it becomes difficult. So it's hard for me because I'm like, well, what would people want to know about him? You know, but also you don't want to ask him questions where he's like, this is why I hate radio.
Does he kind of have a gut punching approach similar to Andy or Andy Huggins? Or
And Andy's featuring for him this weekend.
Oh, really? All right.
So you're going to get a bunch of jokes tonight. This is a good show to watch.
Definitely, yeah. It's going to be ridiculous. And I asked him because when Ken asked me to work for him, they were like, "Hey, you know, will you work for Joe?" I was like, "Oh, I would love to work with him because I know who he is. He's a big name for me in comedy." And they were like, "Yeah, cool. You just have to work clean." I was like, "No problem. I can do that." So I asked him, I was like, "Hey," because there are different versions of working clean. Like some people have, I had one guy tell me, "Yeah, can you work PG-18? I was like, "I have no idea what that means. That's not a real thing." And he was like, "You can only say the F word three times. You can't say the C word. Don't talk about, you know, don't say GD. I'm like, "What? This is a weird category of clean."
Can we get the criteria in writing or something?
So I just asked Joe. I was like, hey, you know, Ken mentioned you wanted me to work clean. What do you want me to do? He goes, you know what? I just say that because I don't want to get a comic that maybe humps the stool and just talks about, you know, like horrible, horrible sex acts for 30 minutes. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't do that. I mean, my closer is usually humping the stool, but I don't do that. No. So that's why I was like, yeah, that's no problem because he's a little more low key, but this is kind of, and I hate admitting this, but you think you're going well. Until you watch a guy like Joe Mackey on stage, and then you're like, oh, my God, I have so far to go as a writer, as a performer. Because as soon as he walked on stage for 45 minutes, it was like Andy. It was like every 10 to 15 seconds you're laughing and you don't stop until the show's over.
That's what I appreciated about Andy's show. And maybe that's, you know, Andy, like if you are looking for that type of comedy, if you're looking, like he has to have a different joke in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Andy's definitely that person.
And no doubt.
You know.
Tell me when you guys are sitting in the green room, Joe doesn't sound like that.
What?
Because, I mean, I ran out in the hallway to make sure Trey wasn't here and that he doesn't have red
no,
hair.
No, I mean, he
but
does.
But does he, because, you know, some people, we talk about it. You can turn the voice on, you can turn it off. Like, boy, his energy when he got out.
There's an aura to his voice because right when I called him, I was like.
No, he's, I mean, that's just how he is. He's not being fake. It's not fake. I mean, off stage, he's not. As energetic, no, but I'm not either. I mean, when the microphone on the show goes off, or when
I was talking about
when I'm not on stage, I'm not like you know at 110 energy level all the time.
But I was talking more about like the way his voice projected, and like you can definitely hear his voice. You know, not necessarily that he had low energy
and projection.
But I think that I mean, you guys are like that. We all are. When the mics go on, you turn it up a little bit. You know, you're performing. You're letting people.
What are you talking about? What up, H-Town?
People want to listen. Yeah, exactly. But so no, you know, I took him to the grocery store to get some food. Is he like that in the HEB? No. But he's the same person. Like, he's genuine when you see on stage.
So as nice as you were taking him to the grocery store to get some grub,
uh-huh.
You let him run over I told 45 him not to. By U of H?
No, so I picked him up, and he goes, yeah, I was looking for food and stuff because there's not a lot of restaurants near this hotel. And so I went running. I was like, ooh, Joe, boy. No, don't don't run down 45 to Fuquay and back. That's not a good, no, don't do that. I was like, this isn't the worst part of Houston. But this isn't a spot you want to be out just running around, you know, in the evening time. He was like, oh, okay. But then, yeah, so then when I found out there was nothing around him, I was like, if you want, I'll do that a lot, too, if there's no food around. So, yeah, he's great, dude. You guys should go check it out. If you didn't win tickets, maybe give him a call and maybe mention you heard about us or you heard about
Joe.
Give
him the number one person
on the show. Yeah, 281-481-1188. Maybe call the Joe Joint. They might be able to hook you up with some sort of special deal.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. We're going to wrap it up at 4, and the Blitz will take you home till 7. All that right here and more, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I wasn't even thinking about smuggling weed because, like, they're legalizing weed. My cousins, not so much. Like, you know what, people got, like, potheads all wrong. Like, they always think weed heads, like, they're lazy, they don't do nothing. But my pothead homeboys are creative as f***. Like, they be just coming up with inventions, like edibles and shit. Like, I know y'all know about the standard, like, the weed brownies and the weed Rice Krispies and weed gummy bears. I got some other homeboys got f***ing weed mazapan, weed duvalin, weed champurrado, chamoy, all that shit. The fucking mazapan way, it don't crumble, fool. How much sticky icky did you put, dog?
Jingo Blang, that was our last clip as our comedian of the week, and we gave you bonus coverage because we also gave you some Joe Mackey, so we had a lot of F for funny today on an F Yeah Friday. Good stuff, Barry, as always.
Yeah, and hey, one more F. How about F for food and saving money on that using the Get Upside app? This is a F for free app that you can download from the App Store. It's called Get Upside, and it's going to get you cash back on the stuff you're already buying, like gas and food. I downloaded this app in less than 2 minutes. This is a super easy download. It's a super easy install. You can sign in with either your Facebook account or an email account. It's really easy to get started. I did it while I was at the gas station, and I was up and running in no time. To claim a reward, all you do is take a picture of a receipt and upload it. That's it. And then you get your cash back within 24 hours. Could not be easier. And guys, when you sign up with Get Upside, make sure you use promo code Barry. You'll get even more savings when you go to a gas station to get that cash back. And they've got 5,000 plus gas stations around the city of Houston. Hundreds of restaurants that you can go to as well. You can get up to 35% cash back at the restaurants if you spend like $30. That's $10. Go spend $60. That's $20 back. You can't beat that. Like I said, man, I'll take friends out. I did it with Nick. He doesn't have to know. I mean, he knows now, but he didn't have to know that I got a little cash back when I offered to pay. He doesn't know I'm saving money. And you can do that too. You can get, like I said, up to 35% cash back at restaurants. Savings of up to like 25 cents a gallon on your gas where you're getting cash back in your pocket. Easy to use, easy to download. Just look for the Get Upside app in the App Store. Use promo code Barry. Make sure you get that extra savings. I mean, you like getting cash back. You like saving money. Get Upside. Thank me later.
There you have it. Final segment of the show, Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday, as we told you. Heading up to 4 o'clock, where the Blitz will take you home with Aaron, Fred, AJ, all the way till 7 o'clock. Set your weekend up right by keeping us on all day.
We got this text that said, okay, let me try this again. Can we get a Chandler Parsons from Joel in his Stephen A. voice? Like you're a little dancing street puppet. They just give you a request and you do it.
Appreciate you not putting a quarter in the slot, by the way.
Yeah,
that would make it even more uncomfortable.
I don't think, like, you guys, this isn't like a jukebox.
Hey,
like,
Barry, tell me a good joke.
No, see, you don't just request stuff like that. You don't just.
Aren't you a stand-up comedian?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be doing it like, you're supposed to be able to do it like on the fly.
No, that's not.
That's how it works.
No, no. If you were.
Can you do Morgan Freeman real quick?
I hate you. Stop making requests is the point. It's not nice.
Hammer you and hammer you again.
Yeah, you got your impression. Well,
scared the crap
out of Nadler.
Still think that dude should sponsor the show.
Scared me to death. Yeah, it would be a good sponsor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that at all. It would be great if y'all did like dueling hammers at the end of the read.
The eyes.
Audio
only.
You think he'd let him do the eye thing?
Bring him in. Easy. We might bring him in.
Well, you got him. You're doing it on video for the past 2 years.
Me, unless Taryn's on, they're not watching that thing.
How many do you think are on this on the video stream?
34.
Negative 15.
No, I bet you there's more than that.
34.
And thanks to Twin Peaks, we even have a video stream.
That's right, because you know, regardless of what temperature it is outside, it's 29 degrees where the beer is being served at Twin Peaks, where it's eats, drinks, scenic views.
That's right.
We had our own scenic views this week, too.
Huh?
We had our own scenic views on the video stream sponsored by Twin Peaks.
Somebody wants to know when we're coming back to Beaumont. We get that a couple times a week now.
The request.
Yes, the request to come back to Beaumont. I don't know, to be honest with you. We don't get a schedule until it's like a week out or so. So I have no idea. I do know I am trying to get a comedy show out there. If you care about that, I'm trying to set up a little show.
Are you not going to do the one in Clint's?
No, that one died, so that's not happening.
So what you're saying is the Kuntz died.
No,
and so you're gonna have to go to Big Money B.
Yeah,
town.
I want to do a show in Beaumont because I feel like there's not a chance for them to get out here to a lot of the clubs out here. There's no
good
comedy
idea.
There used to be a comedy club in Beaumont run by Slade Ham, I believe. And so I don't think that exists. So I thought, what the heck, I'm gonna do one out there. So it's gonna happen this year. I just don't know when. I got other stuff. I've got irons in the fire first.
If Slade Ham was making bacon, that club was going to be top notch. If you know
that was Joel Blank, not Barry Laminate.
Moral of the story, Nick, if you weren't listening, is once the Kuntz died, he took his action to B-Town. Or he's going to.
Yeah, it didn't. It wasn't really that funny the first time.
I don't care. I'm still doing it. Because normally, like, I'm going to get tagged with the dad joke anyway. I might as well see it all the way through.
I try to help you by being like, no. And he's like, no, I'm going to double down.
Like you're a comedian and you can tell me what's funny. I'll just do my thing, brother. That's what I'm doing.
Well, there you go. To you.
Just like when I stay in my lane, I'm still driving the truck every now and then.
That's right. Somebody was said, okay, so Mac Daddy, who friend of the show, tweets us a lot. He said, is my neighbor being a jerk for replacing the fence on one side with the other neighbor, but not my side?
No, because he's not responsible.
Well,
said he would have paid his share. That's a split fee. That's usually something you split with your neighbor. Now, if he builds it inside the property line, then it's all his fence and you can just tear yours down and use his.
Yeah, but at the same time, you get neighbors that are going to be difficult, too.
Yeah.
So it could be on you. Like, I know Fred over on the right side of my lot, he's going to want to do this with me pronto. But I know Nick's on the left side, and he's going to nickel and dime me, so screw him. I'm only doing the one side I know I'm going to get done.
That sounds about right.
That's actually the one thing in my house that actually looks good. Like, my fence, it actually looks like, it doesn't look old. Really? Everything else needs some work. Everything else needs some dusting.
Lisa has a real problem. We're on the corner.
Uh-huh.
So the city, because we're on the corner, does half of our fence, and it's a red brick. It's bricks.
Right.
So it's cool. But on the back, in the backyard and stuff, it's a wood fence. And because you're on the corner, I've got someone behind me, someone right on the corner, and then someone, because you know you have houses on the back side of the block.
Right.
So I've got right behind me. And the lots are different size shapes, so I got a corner, which is shared by another person. And then on the left side of me, I have another person. And I go, Lisa, that fence looks fine because I just don't want to negotiate with three different people, which I might get three different answers from. And I don't want three different fences, so I'm not doing it.
And you're not alone. There's a lot of people that do that. A lot of people.
So what I did is I just, my neighbors were like non-committal. And I was like, okay. And I put the fence up. Because a lot of times what you'll do is, if it's just a regular wood fence, every other side will have the back part of the
fence.
So it goes back and forth to make it fair. So none of them committed. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put up a new fence, but it's going to be just inside the property line. It's my fence, and all of the backside is going to be on you now. So, and you can't attach anything to my fence. So you can't put boards up.
So I believe
to cover it.
I think the president, Nick, will be calling in the next 10 minutes because if Barry can build that wall, there's something that he could work on with some national implications.
No, I didn't build a wall.
No, you didn't yet, but you're going to.
No,
because he knows if you can get that done, he's coming to you.
Okay, I got to talk about my two heroes of the day.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. My heroes of the day. The first hero was the guy, the bomb threat guy at Home Depot. What? Why is my link not working now? Dang it.
Let's go to the Bobcat.
Basically, this guy goes into the Home Depot and he starts telling people. Somebody called, right? So here's, I'll just go into orders. So someone calls the police and says, we just had a customer here that made what may have been a bomb threat. He said, somebody told me there's a bomb in here and you need to leave the building. He said it three times. Well, then they get the guy and they're like, what did you say? You're arrested. He goes, no. What I said was, y'all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up. And what he meant was he had to poop and he was going to tear things up and make it bad in there. And everyone thought he meant that it was like a legitimate bomb threat.
Wow.
Y'all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up. That's my hero. That's a man.
Good thing those people weren't impressionable and just... Dove right in with the assumptions.
So let me ask you, if he uses the word fixing to,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing he had on overalls.
Used the word fixing to, that eliminates him as a suspect.
Possible terrorist.
Well, I'm guessing he had on overalls and boots, then his overalls were tucked into the boots, and he probably had either mud or some dried concrete on him, and he just walked in, and he was probably like, I'm fixing to blow it up. Y'all better watch out. Who's thinking that's a bomb threat?
Man, in this situation, appearance is everything. Because if he's carrying a lunch pail or a backpack, you just don't know these days.
I would be like, well, have fun, man. Oh, get after it. I don't know. I feel like that was a little too sensitive. But that guy's one of my heroes. And then there's this other guy, Travis Kaufman.
Yep.
He choked out a mountain lion to death while he was out running. He said he stopped and turned around. He saw the mountain lion and like the bobcat attacked him. It was a mountain lion, jumped on him, started biting like his hand and his wrist, right? He said, then we're tussling it during the fall. The mountain lion ends up on his back. And he said, I still had the wrist. He still had a hold of my wrist in his mouth. Eventually, he grabbed a rock, hit the mountain lion in the head, was able to choke him by putting his foot on his neck, and eventually covered his windpipe and choked it to death.
Brave man.
I'm sorry, but once my wrist is inside of the mountain lion, I'm just gonna start screaming like a banshee, and I'll probably go limp and faint. I'm not fighting a mountain lion.
Like a banshee or, yeah, but at the same time, it's mountain lion.
I'm not fighting
a mountain
lion.
This started a whole trend last night on Twitter.
Of?
What athlete would you think would be the athlete that could survive and kill a mountain lion?
First of all.
And everybody's throwing out, like, Evan Gaddis because he's a caveman and this and that and the other thing. And then, of course, Tyrann Mathieu said, well, of course, the honey badger.
Do you guys think you could whoop a mountain lion's ass?
No.
Do you think you're surviving in a mountain lion attack?
I think I could survive it. I don't think that
What, are you going
for
the eyes? Are you going
to
eye gouging?
No, I'm going straight to the jugular. Right to the neck.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to push his eyeballs in.
And if something gets in, like if my hand is in his mouth, you just go straight to the back of the tongue and keep, because they're going to have to gag at some point. And
wow.
Then, yeah. I'm not doing it again. No, sir.
Nick said he'd just stick a finger in his beehole. That's how he's going to fight a mountain lion. Just strike straight
some
in
Some doorbells
there,
work better than others, Nick. Some doorbells create easy entry.
That's how Nick fights, though. Don't wrestle with him.
All right, we got to get out of here. Fred, AJ, Aaron, the Blitz, they're coming up next. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5. This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.